So what do you do when you don't know what to do? That's the question that we asked last time to introduce the story recorded in Daniel chapter 2. And we asked the question because when Daniel heard that Nebuchadnezzar had decreed the death of all the wise men of Babylon, including himself and his three friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, when Daniel heard this drastic, dire, and foolish decree of King Nebuchadnezzar, he immediately made an appointment with the king. And what else could he do? He didn't know whether or not God would provide him with the answer to the king's demand. But what he did know was that he, along with many others, were about to die. So without knowing what the outcome would be, as Daniel 2 verse 16 records, Daniel went in and requested the king to appoint him a time that he might show the interpretation to the king. Now, I think it's pretty safe to say that none of us have ever been in this exact situation before. It's doubtful even that any of us have ever been threatened with death before. But what's not unusual is the experience of needing to take action without knowing what the exact outcome will be. And we know that Daniel didn't know what the outcome would be because at the start of the passage before us this morning, it records that Daniel went to his house and made the matter known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, and told them to seek mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery. So the answer continues, and the question again, what do you do when you don't know what to do? And last time, the answer began with the call to do what you can, certainly within the limits of God's revealed will, of course, to do what needs to be done in the moment, trusting in the Lord. But the answer continues this time in the call to prayer. So the first point this time is the call to prayer. Daniel told his friends to seek mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery so that Daniel and his companions might not be destroyed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. And the first thing to note here is how prayer is defined as seeking mercy from God. It doesn't just say that Daniel called upon his friends to pray. It doesn't say that they simply ask God for the answer, that they might be saved from King Nebuchadnezzar's decree. It says that they sought mercy from God. And this is how we must understand prayer as well. Too often in our day, prayer is understood as a power that man wields, a spiritual force that can be exerted by man in order to bring about a certain outcome. But in Scripture, according to the Word of God, prayer is seeking mercy from God. Prayer is even crying out to God in our weakness and even in our helplessness. Let me give you just a quick survey of references from the Psalms. The book of Psalms, of course, is our song book, but it is also a primer on prayer. It must teach us how to pray. And Psalm 5, verse 2 says, "Give attention to the sound of my cry, my King and my God, for to you do I pray." Psalm 18, verse 6 says, "In my distress I called upon the Lord, to my God I cried for help. From his temple he heard my voice, and my cry to him reached his ears." Psalm 27, verse 7 says, "Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me." Psalm 34, verse 17 says, "When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles." And Psalm 88, verse 13 says, "But I, O Lord, cry to you. In the morning my prayer comes before you." So time after time in the Psalms, prayer is characterized as crying out to God, not politely asking him for a favor. Prayer is a plea for the mercy of God not the dignified intonation of a casual request. Now, it must be granted, as perhaps you're already thinking, it must be granted that James chapter 5, verse 16 says, "The prayer of a righteous man has great power as it is working." And it's likely on the basis of this one verse and passage that people so often want to talk about the power of prayer. But Scripture must always interpret Scripture, and surely the Apostle James would roll over in his grave, as we say, to hear it said in our day that prayer is powerful. Yes, prayer is powerful, according to the teaching of Scripture. Prayer is powerful, but it's powerful because God is powerful. Even more, prayer is powerful not because we say one prayer or 100 prayers. Prayer is powerful because God is merciful. Because God is both powerful and merciful to answer the prayers of His people as they reach His ear by the mediation of Jesus Christ. So the first thing to note here is that prayer is a matter of seeking mercy from God. But we might further clarify what mercy is. The mercy of God is not just His kindness or His acquiescence to a request. Mercy perhaps is best understood as it relates to grace. And we can distinguish between the two, grace and mercy, in this way, that grace is getting what you don't deserve, while mercy is not getting what you do deserve. Let me say that again. Grace is getting what you don't deserve, while mercy is not getting what you do deserve. So we shouldn't think that the use of the word mercy in verse 18 is this kind of an arbitrary use here. Instead, Daniel called upon his friends to pray to seek mercy from the God of heaven because he knew that life itself was only his by the grace of God. Life was a matter of getting what he didn't deserve, and so being saved from death was a matter of mercy, a matter of not getting what he did deserve. It all goes back to the fall of man in the Garden of Eden. God said to Adam and Eve, "In the day that you eat of the fruit of the knowledge of the tree of good and evil, you will surely die." They ate it. And they became worthy of death. In one sense, they died in that very day. In a spiritual sense, they died so that all of their progeny, all of their offspring are now, as we say, born dead. But they also became worthy of physical death, we might say, as well. And every day afterward, they lived by the mercy of God. They lived by not yet getting what they did deserve. And this is true as well of the descendants of Adam and Eve. It is true of Daniel and his three friends. And brothers and sisters, it's true of you and me as well. You see, the thing that's behind the idea that prayer is a power that we wield is the mistaken notion that we are coexistent with God. For too many people, it's just that God exists and we exist alongside Him, so to speak. And so prayer is simply a matter of bridging the gap. Prayer is a matter of plugging into God. Prayer is a spiritual discipline by which we connect with the divine and tap into His power. But that's not a Christian way of thinking. That's actually a pagan notion. Instead, God, you see, is our Creator. God is the God in whom we live and move and have our being, as the Apostle Paul said in Acts 17. In the beginning, God created us from the dust of the earth, and He breathed into us the breath of life. And even more, we, by our sin, have forfeited the right to live. Life was the gift of God from the beginning, and we have forfeited that gift under the just judgment of God for our sin. That's why when Jesus taught us to pray, He taught us to begin by praying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed means honored, revered, even feared. And the name of God is His character, even His very being as God. So to pray, hallowed be thy name, is to seek to understand, firstly, our true relationship to God. And it's not a relationship that we volunteer to have with God. It's not a relationship that that we decide we're going to have. It's the relationship that we have to God, whether or not we admit it, by virtue of the fact that He created us, and by virtue of the fact that He has passed judgment against us for our sin. And so of all the things that you should ask of God, indeed, of all the things that you should ask of God, because He's the only one who can provide what you need, yet the first thing we ought to ask and to seek of God is His mercy. God, I'm here to ask for food and drink, for shelter and clothing. I'm here to ask for a new job, for better health. But first, I must seek Your mercy. First, I plead that You would not give me what I do deserve. Before You give me all the things that I need from You, those things that I don't deserve, first, do not give me what I do deserve. Do not give me over to death. And let us be assured. Let us be assured, even as we seek the mercy of God, that He will be merciful. There are lots of things that you might ask of God, not knowing whether He will say yes or no to your request. But mercy is not one of those things. In John 6, verse 37, Jesus said, "Whoever comes to Me, I will never cast out." Romans 10, verse 13 says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." And in 1 John 1, verse 9, it says, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Let this be abundantly clear as the good news of Jesus Christ, that there is mercy from God for those who seek mercy from Him. And let this be our first prayer, and the prayer to which we constantly return, in order that we might hallow the name of God and honor the sacrifice of Christ on the cross for us. For the sake of Christ, who took upon Himself the suffering and death He did not deserve, so we do not receive what we do deserve. We receive the mercy of God. Secondly, then, a second point is the praise of God. Daniel 2, verse 19 says, "Then the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision of the night, and Daniel blessed the God of heaven and said," and what follows is a wonderful expression of praise to God. What follows is really another model prayer that we should follow. Daniel praised God, and he said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, to whom belong wisdom and might. He changes times and seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with Him. To You, O God of my fathers, I give thanks and praise, for You have given me wisdom and might, and have made known to me what we ask of You, for You have made known to us the king's matter." So notice firstly here that Daniel gave the credit to God. You can put it in that simple language. Daniel gave the credit to God. And that's what it is to praise God, to give Him the credit for what we receive. Daniel didn't run immediately to the king saying, "I got it. Listen to what I can tell you." Instead, Daniel praised God, saying in essence, "Wisdom and might belong to You, O Lord." Even more, Daniel immediately began to praise God according to the interpretation revealed to him. And we'll hear the dream and its interpretation, the Lord willing, in the near future. But for now, note that Daniel declared of God what God had revealed of Himself in Nebuchadnezzar's dream. Daniel declared he changes times and seasons, he removes kings and sets up kings. In other words, Daniel declares to God what God had revealed of himself to Daniel in the king's dream. Namely, Daniel declares the sovereignty of God. And this too is part and parcel to the praise of God. Praising God requires more than just saying, I praise you. To praise God is to declare, God, you are wonderful. God, you are sovereign. God, you are holy. God, you are the source of my life, the giver of my days, the God of all power, the God of all grace, the God of all mercy, the God of all wisdom and skill. And let me apply this by asking the question, is this the way that you pray? Yes, bring your request to God. Philippians 4 verse 6 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. So yes, 100 times yes, bring your request to God, but spend much time in praise of God. And praise Him with more than the word praise. Praise Him by acknowledging and declaring what He has done for you, the blessings He has given you. And if anyone would say, well, I'm waiting for God to do something great in my life so that I can praise Him, well, then understand that you are not self-existent alongside of God. Your life itself is something great that He has given to you. Your life itself and each new day are a blessing and a mercy from God. As it says in Lamentations 3 verses 22 and 23, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. And in every day, remember what He has already done for you in Christ. Even if God never gives us another blessing in this life, yet we have Christ. We have His blood and righteousness, and we have the promise of eternal life in Jesus Christ. And finally then, a third and final point, all glory to God. All glory to God. When God granted the plea for mercy that He heard from Daniel and his three friends, Daniel immediately broke out in praise to God, and let us do the same as Daniel, even learning from his praise to God what it means to praise God. But Daniel didn't stop there. As we might expect, in verse 24 it says that Daniel went in to Arioch, whom the king had appointed to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said thus to him, do not destroy the wise men of Babylon. Bring me in before the king, and I will show the king the interpretation. And when Daniel came before Nebuchadnezzar, the king asked Daniel, are you able to make known to me the dream that I have seen and its interpretation? And Daniel basically said, no. I'm not able. I can't do it. I am not able. I cannot do it. But God can. And He has done it. Verse 27 records, Daniel answered the king and said, No wise men, enchanters, magicians, or astrologers can show the king the mystery that the king has asked. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries, and He has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the latter days. And it would seem to make it all the more clear, to give all the more glory to God. Daniel says again in verse 30, but as for me, this mystery has been revealed to me not because of any wisdom that I have more than all the living, but in order that the interpretation may be known to the king and that you may know the thoughts of your mind. Can you hear it? What is Daniel saying? All glory to God. This isn't about me, said Daniel. God has done this. And God has done this as a blessing to you, King Nebuchadnezzar. So Daniel acknowledges that the answer has come from God, and the point is not to make Daniel look good, but to provide a blessing to Nebuchadnezzar. So it's firstly and ultimately about God, but it's as a blessing to Nebuchadnezzar. Where's Daniel in this? Well, he's somewhere in between, but it's not about Daniel. So let us understand that God is not pleased with those who praise Him on the Lord's Day and then strut their way through the rest of the week. God is not pleased with those who praise Him in their personal worship each morning and then fail to be His witnesses in the remainder of the day. Indeed, even from the beginning, God created us for His glory. He created us in His own image that we might reflect His glory in the world. And so in our recreation, as God is merciful to us in Jesus Christ, the purpose of God is His own glory. And whenever we speak of God's undaunted dedication to His own glory, we ought to recall the careful explanation of this. As we are dedicated to our own glory, it's a matter of pride, even arrogance, and certainly a matter of sin, but why not for God? Well, the answer is that God is good. And because God is good, it would be wrong for Him not to be dedicated to His own glory. As an illustration, perhaps I've used this before, count it review. Think of a great athlete. Think of a great basketball player. Would it be right for a great basketball player to say, no, don't watch me play basketball. Don't try to emulate me. Instead, a great basketball player might also be a great coach. A great basketball player might seek to teach others how to be a better basketball player. And it would not be arrogant for him to say, now watch how I do this, and then you do it in the same way as me. That's not arrogance, that's good coaching. Well, it's the same idea with God. Why shouldn't He seek His own glory? He is a good God. In fact, He is perfectly good, infinitely good in all His character and in everything He does. So can you see, it would be wrong for God only if He should fail to call us to glorify Him. Or take as another example, a great artist. Is it a matter of humility for a great artist to keep her best paintings stored away where no one can see them? Instead, if she's a great artist, then the right thing for her to do is to put her paintings on display where others can see and enjoy her art. And in a similar way, should God hide His glory? Should not God call upon all living things to glorify Him? And so it is that the whole world, the entire universe, is the great masterpiece of God. And man is even the crown of His creation. As majestic as the planets are, as majestic as the quasars are, man yet is the crown of God's creation. And so in another sense, do we understand we are His painting. We are His masterpiece. We are the work of His hands, and even the crown of His creation. Therefore, it is not wrong of God, but entirely right and proper of Him to seek His own glory. The wrong belongs to us if we do not give to Him the glory that is due Him as an infinitely good and praiseworthy God. So the call of God's Word in the passage before us today is, first of all, the call to prayer. I'm reviewing now, in closing. Daniel's call to prayer is issued, of course, in a day of great distress. We may not be in great distress today. We may not be at any point in this coming week, in a time of great distress. But as we understand prayer as the cry for mercy, we must see that it's our dependence upon God that makes prayer so fitting. We are not any less dependent upon God in times of peace and comfort than we are in times of distress. And we are no more deserving of His blessing on any one day above another. So let us pray. And let prayer be a matter of crying out to Him and seeking His mercy toward us in Jesus Christ. Even further, the passage before us sounds the call to praise God, to declare aloud to Him what He has done for us. This is what praise is, the joyful declaration of what God has done for us. I don't know, maybe that sounds a little odd, telling God what He's done for us, but that's what praise is, according to the book of Psalms. To praise God is to declare what He's done for us. Daniel prayed, "I give thanks and praise, for you have given me wisdom and might and have made known to me what we ask of you." And so let us praise God for His every blessing to us. And finally, let our praise of God so fill our times of personal worship that it overflows into our whole lives as we live every day to the glory of God. How do we know He is glorious? Well, because He has revealed Himself as glorious through the saving work of His Son, Jesus Christ. And if you don't know that to be true, if you don't know what it means to speak of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, then here's your first prayer: to seek the mercy of God and to plead with God to open your eyes, to open them more and more throughout your life. And that's where I'd have a stop for today. So let us then bow our heads together appropriately and pray. Father in heaven, we answer your call to prayer by praying. And we pray that your word would instruct us in how to pray, what prayer is, what it means to praise you. May we also hear your call to give all glory to you, and the witness that we have upon others around us in our lives, help us, O God, to respond rightly to what you have done for us in Jesus Christ. Indeed, O Lord, if we can't see it, if it's not so striking, if the glory is hid from our eyes, that we cannot see your glory in the face of Jesus Christ, we pray that you would open our eyes. And as far as our eyes are already opened, open them more and more. That indeed, as your word says, our eyes might be set upon Christ. That we might run the race that He has marked out for us. Do this for us, O God. Do it in your mercy. Do it because you are gracious and because you are good. Do it for your glory, for your honor, and for your praise. In Jesus' name, amen.